Welcome to Lakemount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
All right, let's take our Bibles and turn, if we would, to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. And we're going to continue in our series today on the foundations of the faith. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through to chapter 6, verse 3 says this: "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so." Now, I want to say that as we're digging into this series, I want to remind you, when we're talking about baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit, the laying on of hands is going to be our subject today. This is not the deluxe package of Christianity. This is not, you know, adding the sunroof and cruise control or the chrome fittings. This is basic Christianity 101. This is what the writer of Hebrews says is foundational. Foundational to our faith, we need to have an appetite and an appreciation for the laying on of hands. Another word for the laying on of hands would be the word impartation. Or as Randy Clark refers to it, the transference of the anointing. This is a very real and powerful and foundational element to our faith, taking what is on one person's life and placing it on another. There are tangible realities of the Spirit which are relayed and transmitted through touch. And so we need to grasp that this is, again, foundational. We need to understand that this is something that Scripture teaches is not, you know, just charismatic or that this is some fringe doctrine, but we need to appreciate that there are realities of the Spirit that God has determined He's going to place into one person's life, and the way that that is going to get into another person's life is through the laying on of hands. And so one of the clearest places in the Bible where we first see the value of laying on of hands is in the book of Genesis chapter 48. You don't have to turn there this morning because we're going to be, as we have been through this series, covering a lot of territory. But I just want to frame with this story in Genesis 48, where the Bible tells us that Jacob was about to die and he knew it. Jacob was the grandson of Abraham and the son of Isaac. Abraham was the recipient of an exceptional promise and covenant from God, that God said to Abraham, "I am going to bless you, and I am going to make you the father of many nations. You look up at the stars in the sky, you count the sand on the beach, you're going to have more kids than that." And Abraham's like, awesome. Except for he was like 100. And God worked a miracle in Abraham and Sarah, and they had one son, Isaac. God gives a promise of unlimited, unable to count your offspring, and he has one kid. The Bible says that we should not despise the day of small beginnings. God knows what he's doing. And so Isaac had a couple of sons, and then his son Jacob, who became the recipient of the promise and whose name was Israel, had 12 sons. And at the end of his life in Genesis 48, Jacob wants to bless his sons. He wants to, and if you read it later in this week or later today, you'll see that he didn't just say, "Bless you, bless you, bless you," not you, but you. He was speaking not just blessing as a word or a phrase, but particular words that had direction, it had affirmation, it had a sense of calling and destiny, and he was prophesying, but he was also laying his hands on his sons. Now, Joseph, we know, was at one point sold by his brothers into captivity, sold to Midianite traders, and then shipped off to Egypt. And in his sojourn there, he had found his way by the grace of God on his life to become the second in command to the most powerful man in the world. And he was used to sustain the promise of God by actually sustaining food in a season of famine. And so Jacob wanted to give to Joseph a double portion blessing. And so he took two of Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and he said, I'm going to reckon these sons as my own and put my blessing on them. And in Genesis chapter 48, the Bible says that these little boys were brought and they were placed on the dying man's lap. And as he was placing his hands upon them to bless them, the Bible says that he crossed his arms. And he put his left hand on the head of the older son, Manasseh, and he put his right hand on the head of the younger son, Ephraim. And while he's, you know, dying and speaking words of blessing, when Joseph sees that his dad has crossed his arms, he reaches over and tries to crisscross his arms back. He's like, Dad, you're crossing the signal. You're putting the right-handed blessing on the younger son. Now, pause. In our culture, we might not have a very high value for the blessing and laying on of hands, let alone getting really picky about which hand the blessing comes through. Which doesn't mean we're more enlightened. It means that we need to become aware to what Hebrews says is foundational. The right hand symbolizes authority. It's why the Bible says of Jesus that he is seated at the right hand of God. There's a sense of that right hand blessing being where there was authority and kind of the primary blessing coming upon these sons. And so when Joseph saw that his dad was crossing his arms, he tried to actually adjust. It's like, oh, the old man is getting a little crazy, and he crossed his arms, just try to put them back. And he's like, no, son. I know what I'm doing. Now, it's interesting coming from Jacob that he was crossing his arms on who he was going to bless. Because if you know the story of Jacob, he was the younger brother to Esau, whose name Esau means red and hairy. And how his older brother, the red hairy guy, was the rightful recipient to the firstborn blessing. But Jacob really felt that there was blessing that was to be on his life. And so he put sheepskin on himself and he rubbed manure on himself so that he could trick his blind dad that he was Esau. I mean, that's not a compliment to Esau at all. When you rub poop on yourself and you put fur on, and he's like, must be Esau, you know. But Jacob had a heart for the blessing. He had a heart to walk in the promise. He saw that his brother would be willing to trade it for early lunch. He skipped it for a bowl of soup. And Jacob had a heart that was determined to walk in blessing. And so he went through so many years, 14 years of challenge, of working out how he had stolen that blessing and then how God eventually did bless him when he was trying to sneak it out of his dad. He had to wrestle it from God himself in a tent. And so here's Jacob now at the end of his life, and he's to bless these two grandsons and reckon them as his own. And when he got his hands on them, I get the feeling that Jacob prayed about it before he did it. And I get the feeling that he made it clear he wasn't just making a mistake. He was intentionally crossing his arms, and he said, son, I prayed about it. This kid's going to be great too. But the older will serve the younger. There's something exceptional here. I get the sense that Jacob probably thought, I wish my dad would have prayed a little bit more before I had to disguise myself in manure and fur. And so we see this incredible value for blessing coming from a voice of authority and anointing and transferring it through those spoken words and the laying on of hands. And so there's a scriptural foundation to see that the laying on of hands accomplishes at least six things from my study, and I'm going to ask you, if you're taking notes, just to write these down. And as we move through the subject matter rather quickly today, to take some time and study this later, if you would. But it's just so that we understand that when the Bible says that this is foundational, it truly is, but it's also very important. Again, not fringe. There isn't a believer in the sound of my voice who can do without impartation, without blessing, without the laying on of hands. This is foundational. You need this. I need this. We need this. We've got to grasp what is available through the laying on of hands. So the first thing that the laying on of hands accomplishes, number one, is that it will impart blessing. You can write in Genesis 48 there, where we were just looking at the story of Jacob blessing his sons. If we think in terms of a natural illustration or a financial illustration, it's easy for us to see the value that we place on someone coming to the end of their life who has perhaps, you know, done well for themselves and made a lot of money. We understand that at the end of their life, they can't take that money with them. And so they divvy up their estate and they give what they have earned to those who have not earned it. They give it as an inheritance. And we've heard of, you know, the fights that can happen in families of, I want the car, I want the piano, I want the money, you know, and the arguing over material things. In the same way that material inheritance can be passed down, spiritual inheritance can be passed down as well. Spiritual blessing can be passed down as well. Things that have been developed in your life as strength and as an anointing and as gifts, even mantles, as it were, in the Old Testament, mantles were a garment that were worn that typified a spiritual garment, like the mantle of a prophet. You don't need a mantle when you go to heaven. That's why when Elijah, when he had his prophetic mantle, he was coming to the end of his life, and his servant Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit. I want what's on your life times two. And Elijah said, well, if you can see me when I'm taken up into heaven, then you can have it. And the Bible records that when Elijah was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind, he threw his mantle down. Why? Because you don't need a mantle in heaven. We're not going to need preachers in heaven. You won't need the gift of prophecy in heaven. Right now we know in part, then we'll be fully known. We'll have a greater heightened awareness. There'll be gifts that you have here, anointings that you have here, that they are for an earthly assignment. And we're living in a time when some spiritual giants are passing from this life, and there are mantles that need to be picked up. When a giant like Billy Graham goes on to glory, we need people with a mantle for evangelism to pick up what was on his life and say, God, help me reach my world for Jesus. When a giant like David Maines passes away, we need someone to pick up the mantle and say, God, give me a voice into the media realm of our nation that we could speak to our nation over the airwaves in the name of Jesus. When a giant like Brother Dick Iverson, who launched a movement and fathered many pastors and leaders, we need apostolic mantles to be picked up to forge churches in the power of the Holy Spirit. Whenever those giants of the faith move on, they don't take their mantles with them. Those mantles are here for an earthly assignment and an earthly purpose. And so intentional spiritual fathers and mothers will recognize that there is an ability to impart blessing. Like an inheritance spiritually, take this. In the same way that a financial inheritance would say to you, you don't have to start, you know, on $20,000 a year and trying to decide between Kraft dinner and a bottle of water, but you can start where I left off. Here's $1 million, start your life. In the same way, in the spirit, here you don't have to try to figure out some of the things I've figured out. Start from here. Blessing can be imparted. Secondly, the laying on of hands will accomplish, number two, it will impart authority. In Numbers chapter 27, verse 18 to 20, says this, the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Make him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority, so that the whole Israelite community will obey him. God instructed Moses, and again, at a time of transition where Moses knew he was going to be leaving this life for eternity, God said to him, bring Joshua. You need a successor. It's not a democracy. We're not going to vote about it. There is a sense of, I have selected somebody, but the people need to see you. Put your hand on him, and I'm going to take some of what I've placed on you, and I'm going to put it on him. I'm going to take the authority that's on you and put it on him so the people will follow Joshua as they followed you. This is similar to when Jesus sent out his 12 disciples on their first missionary journey. And the Bible says that he called them together and he gave them authority. And the Bible just says it just like that, matter of fact, like we just know what that means. But it's a transfer. Jesus took what was on him and he placed it on them. He gave them authority over evil spirit, gave them authority over illness, gave them authority to go in and preach the gospel into new settings. There is an ability through the laying on of hands to impart authority. Authority doesn't come from just, you know, familiarity. You know, you could have a real passion for the law. You could maybe have a real desire that you would love to be a police officer, but you might think to yourself, I'd love to be a police officer, but I don't have time to go to police school. I'm just going to Google some stuff. I'm going to read the Canadian law book. I'm going to, you know, discover everything that I need to know about law. And you could become an expert in legal matters in Ontario, and you could be right. You could see someone, you know, speed through your neighborhood 80 kilometers an hour. You could try to pull them over, tap on their window, say, excuse me. Do you know how fast you were going? And they would say to you, excuse you. Who do you think you are? Well, you were doing 80, weren't you? Yeah, actually, I was doing 85. Well, you need to stop it. Yeah, I know, but there's no cops around. Well, I'm giving you a ticket. Well, I'm not paying it. But I'm right. Yeah, but you're nobody. Why? Because the authority hasn't been invested in. And just because you have a passion, you could be right. But unless you're wearing the mantle, the uniform, the badge, it's presumption. And so that's why there's police college, and that's why they will confer the right to be a police officer. It's why they will confer the right to practice law in our province. It's why the queen, when she wants to knight somebody, will, you know, take the sword on either side and confer knighthood. And it's a biblical principle of the laying on of hands that the authority that is on one life can be passed on to another. The third thing that the laying on of hands will accomplish, number three, is it will impart healing. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 18, says this, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Pause. It will accompany those who believe. Who here believes in Jesus? Okay. These signs will accompany you. You can just put your name in there. Some people develop theology over the years that say, well, these signs will accompany the apostles or some special breed. Jesus said, these signs will accompany those who believe. That means you. That means me. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up deadly snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Jesus said that when we go in the Great Commission, most people think of the Great Commission as just going all the world and preach the gospel, but Jesus continued talking and said, and these signs will follow you. And Jesus didn't say, pray for sick people. He said, lay your hands on sick people and heal them. He said, there is healing that will actually come through the laying on of your hands. And you think, my hands? I'm just me. And that's the whole point, is that God delights in releasing his kingdom through people just like you and me. God loves each one of us too much to give us everything we need all by ourselves. God's not going to give you everything you need in your prayer closet so that you can come out and go, I have everything I need. I don't know if you know this, but I'm like the most spiritual person in the world. and I'm God's gift to everyone. Like, that's not healthy. God placed us in a body so that some of the stuff that you need is in that person that rubs you the wrong way. God places the gifts that we need in the body with imperfect people, with just normal looking hands. And he says, with just those normal looking hands, you know, Jesus' hands would have been covered with calluses and blisters. He was a carpenter until he was 30. And just those hardworking hands wrought miracles and healing and life. And he said, I'm going to give you the same anointing that you can go into the world. And just your average everyday hands can be placed on sick people and they would be healed. Fourthly, the fourth thing that the laying on of hands will accomplish is to impart the Holy Spirit. We looked at this last week about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And there's five examples in the book of Acts of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Three of them include the laying on of hands. In Acts chapter 8, verse 18, in Samaria, when Peter and John laid their hands on the new converts and prayed for them, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They laid their hands on them. We got to pay attention to the detail of the story. Not just randomly people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, but as people who were currently baptized in the Holy Spirit, laying their hands on those who were not yet baptized in the Holy Spirit, God was delighted to use a people as a conduit for Holy Spirit infilling. What was on their life, what's on my life, can get onto your life. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. I'd like to propose to you that in Acts chapter 9, the most unsung hero in all of Scripture, a guy by the name of Ananias, was in a prayer. He was in a time of prayer and God spoke to him. Have you ever been in a time of prayer and felt like God told you something that was just like, what? He's in prayer and God says to him, I want you to go to a guy, to a house, such and such a house, and I want you to pray for a guy named Saul of Tarsus. Ananias is like, yeah, Saul of Tarsus, I've heard of him. He was killing Christians, trying to wipe the church out. And God says, I want you to go to his house, pray for him. And he's like, yeah, maybe I'll just take another nap and I won't eat pizza before I fall asleep. Like, I cannot be hearing God right. God says, I want you to do it. And the Bible says that Ananias, in Acts chapter 9, verse 17, Ananias found the place by prophetic revelation where Saul was, walked into the room, laid his hands on him, and he said, brother Saul, receive your sight and receive the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, the Bible says that two things happened. Scales fell off, physical scales fell off of Saul of Tarsus. They fell off of his eyes. He received his physical sight. He was healed and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is like God telling you to go to, like, you know, one of the leaders of an ISIS terrorist group and just pray for him, just to put it in like some vernacular that we can relate to. And Ananias obeyed, and no big deal, just some unsung hero prayer warrior guy just obeyed God, laid his hands on a terrorist, and that terrorist became Paul the Apostle, the greatest apostle the church has ever seen, who authored by the Holy Spirit 13 books of the New Testament. No big deal, just a Tuesday afternoon prayer meeting, I guess I'll go do it. But that obedience, he laid hands on him and he received the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19, verse 6. Now Paul, operating in his apostolic ministry, finds some believers in Ephesus. And when he finds these disciples and asks them what baptism they've received, they said, John's baptism. He said, oh, well, that's not enough. That's just, you're just saved. There's a promised land. You're just out of Egypt. There's a promised land for you yet. And so he laid his hands on them, the Bible said. And when he laid his hands on them, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they spoke in new tongues. So the laying on of hands can impart the Holy Spirit. The fifth thing that the laying on of hands can accomplish is it can impart spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, Paul said to the church in Rome, he said, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, the apostle says to Timothy, do not neglect your gift which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. There are gifts that God has for your life that you won't walk in until someone prays for you and they're released into your life. That's how God has designed it to be. I have this theory. When I get to heaven, I want to see if we can actually do this. But I would love to in the heavenly realm, be able to map the impartation that made it to my life. Because if you think about it, you know, Paul lays his hands on Timothy. Timothy lays his hands on so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so. And here we are all these generations later. I'd like to propose to you that we're walking in the same impartations. Because believers that have laid hands upon believers, there would be, I think when we get to heaven, we'll be able to just kind of map the chain and have it all come back and go, isn't that amazing? The epicenter, what God started on the day of Pentecost. And then how Ananias, maybe he was one of the guys in the upper room, got filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he hears God lays his hands on Saul, and Saul starts laying his hands on everybody. And here we are all these years later. There are gifts that God wants to release into your life that will come through the laying on of hands. Gifts that you need. Gifts that will help you fulfill your purpose. Gifts that will help you to walk in your calling. Like I was telling you last week about Smith Wigglesworth, he had a passion. He wanted to reach lost people. He wanted to see people healed. But until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he stumbled and fumbled around. There are things that right now, maybe you're frustrated because you feel like there's more for your life. Listen to me, get into the place of prayer where people can get their hands on you so that God can get to you what he wants to get through you in Jesus' name. Sixthly, is sixthly a word? Number six, or sixthly, just flows off the tongue. The laying on of hands is useful to commission ministers. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The laying on of hands will commission to ministry. That when they were fasting and praying and got a word from God, they placed their hands on Paul and Barnabas, and that was the launching point of Paul's apostolic ministry. Why? Because, again, not just putting on his, you know, making his own badge out of tinfoil and putting on a blue shirt and trying to do the thing. He needed to be commissioned. Listen, if you want to have authority, you need to be under authority. And so Paul came under the authority. I personally believe that when Saul of Tarsus got saved, there was a seed of apostleship in him, but he wasn't an apostle yet. It grew over time. And as he cultivated the gift that was in him and people saw that, they placed their hands on him and sent him out. And there's a commissioning that can come through the laying on of hands. So let me just give you now four simple keys. So we've done six things that the laying on of hands can accomplish. Now I want to just give you four keys because Pastor Frank's coming next week and I got to give you a million points just to fit in. Four simple keys for our understanding around impartation. Key number one, faith. Everybody say faith. Okay, the first key is faith on the part of the one laying on hands. We have to have faith when we're laying hands on somebody. Have to have faith that God, you want to use these hands. That my faith is not in myself. My faith is not in my ability. My faith is not in my track record. When Peter and John were walking into the temple and they saw a lame man, they just said, "Silver and gold, I don't have. What I have, I give you." Not who I am, just what I have. I'm carrying an anointing in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. Faith in what God has placed upon my life. I need to have faith as I lay hands on people that God wants to use it. James says in James chapter 5, he said, "Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders to come, and the elders can lay hands on that sick person, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will make the sick person well." Well, I get the impression that the person is so sick, they've been praying and it hasn't been working. I get the impression that when James says, "Call for the elders to anoint with oil," he's saying the prayer of faith. Whose faith? The elders' faith. That as I lay my hands on you, I'm believing God to heal you. And so we need to have faith. The faith of the person who's laying on hands. The second key is faith Faith on the part of the one receiving prayer. It's not enough to just put it all on somebody else. Well, if they've got faith, if they really have a gift, let's see how it works on me. Everyone else is falling over, but I'm not falling over, and I'm not going to do a courtesy fall either, so you can just forget it. Faith on the part of the one receiving. We need to have faith that God actually wants to transmit anointing into our lives through the laying on of hands. In Mark chapter 5, the Bible talks about a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. She heard that Jesus was coming through town, and his reputation had preceded him, and she had an idea. The Bible says she thought, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And it's an amazing account because she kind of flipped the equation. And up until that point, everyone was trying to get Jesus to touch them. This woman has an idea. What if I just touch him? And it worked. And it even surprised Jesus. He stopped and was like, who touched me? I felt power go out. Isn't that amazing to get so connected to the anointing you can actually feel the levels? Jesus is just like, well, reserve tank number 2 just had a withdrawal. Who's been siphoning from reserve tank number 2? And what's cool about this is that in Mark chapter 5, she had the idea, if I could just touch him, I'd be healed. And it worked. Jesus publicly blessed it. He made her tell everybody. What happens? Read the last verse of Mark chapter 6. The Bible says, by the end of the next chapter, everybody was trying to cram around just so they could try to touch Jesus. Why? Because they heard her testimony like, well, if he can't touch me, I'm going to touch him. We need to have faith, not only the faith of the person laying on hands, but faith for the person who is having hands laid on you. We need to believe that God actually wants to do something in me. This isn't mind over matter. This is coming into agreement with the vehicle and the mechanism of how God wants to release blessing into your life. That I believe that through the laying on of hands, I could receive gifts. I could receive anointing. The third key for our understanding of the laying on of hands, number 3 is we cannot impart history. No one can impart their history with God into your life. No one can take their journey with God and just put it onto you. Years ago, I heard T.D. Jakes talking about how, you know, people would come to him and they would say, I want you to just lay your hands on me. I want what's on your life to be on my life. And he was like, yeah, you know, at first he kind of appreciated it, but then he was kind of getting a little frustrated, you know, and just thinking, it's almost like people are just kind of like, I just want your ministry, but not your journey. And so he said, so, you know, someone came and asked him, I want what's on your life. So he's like, okay. And he put his hands on the guy's head. And he said, God, I pray that this guy would drive an old beat-up car for 10 years that he had to hold together with duct tape. And I pray that he'll preach in a storefront church to just his wife and 3 kids for 10 years with no one else showing up. And the guy's like, oh, that's okay. He's like, I'm not done yet. God, I pray that his mother and his father would pass away within 6 months of each other and he'd have to try to continue to persist in ministry while he's experiencing that category. And he proceeded to share his testimony of the journey that goes behind, not just the impartation and the anointing on his life, but some of the history he's developed with God. Now, I don't know if he really did that thing or if he was saying it illustratively, but the point is this, there's some grace that's on a person's life that it's not, they can't impart their history into you. I can't impart the depth of my relationship with God into you. You can receive some of the benefit of it, but you cannot receive the depth you need to cultivate your own. Yeah. Number 4, the fourth key, we cannot impart character into somebody. Character cannot be imparted. Is there a more frustrated person on the planet than someone who is anointed and has no character? Because people who are anointed, listen, God's gifts and his call are without repentance. But if someone, you know, has got loose morals when it pertains to the opposite sex, or they have, you know, things that they've crashed and burned a few times, they might be anointed well enough, but the body of Christ is wise to say, you know, I don't want everything that's on your life. Because there's some things that you just have not been able to maintain. The character of your life, biblically, is the wineskin. There's nothing wrong with the wine of God's outpouring, the wine of his spirit, but the wineskin is the container that needs to be flexible and needs to be able to move with God. And if that wineskin is not malleable, is not flexible, Jesus said that new wine in an old wineskin will cause for that wineskin to burst, and the wine and the skin will be ruined. And so you cannot impart character, therefore guard your character, work your character. Keep your heart open and contrite before the Lord. Never mistake his anointing as an endorsement of your entire lifestyle. Because there are some things that we're all working through, but we should be working through it, not making room for it. Nobody's perfect. Don't hear me wrong. Nobody's perfect. But willful sin will invite a collapse. And you cannot just go to an altar and receive character. Oh God, just take away all the bad desires. Give me all the right convictions. Like, oh, I prayed that one a few times. It's a good starting point. But if you, I shouldn't do that. You can, that's a good starting point. Ask for the Holy Spirit's help. But the Holy Spirit is never going to control your life. You know what a fruit of the Holy Spirit is? Self-control. He's never going to control you, but he's going to anoint your self-control. He's going to help you manage yourself. So you cannot impart character. Final thought here as we approach just a time of prayer together. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. The Apostle Paul, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is speaking to this protege, speaking to his spiritual son, and talking to him both personally and by the anointing of the Holy Spirit with a kingdom reality that we can draw on as well. And so for 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. So this is the personal part. Unless you have a grandmother named Lois and a mother named Eunice, then you really need to claim this verse. Okay. But this is, he's speaking to his spiritual son, but we can still draw the principle and the truth that's contained within it. He says, and now I'm persuaded lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And the apostle is saying to his spiritual son, and we gather from some of the language that Paul uses talking to Timothy all throughout the two letters that he wrote to him, we gather that Timothy was a bit nervous, maybe a bit more of a shy personality, maybe lacked some confidence, maybe not necessarily maybe a type A personality. Maybe you wouldn't have thought, yeah, this guy could lead a mega church because he was leading the church in Ephesus, which grew to 30,000 people, started with 12. And you gather that perhaps Timothy was a little bit nervous and a little unsure of himself. And so Paul takes to encouraging him and says, I want to remind you, there's been a chain of faith. There's been a generational blessing. Like Jacob laying his hands on his sons. You got something from your grandmother. You got something from your mother. And I want to remind you, you got something from me as well. And I laid hands on you. And Timothy, if you've never seen the gift operate, it's not because it's not there. It's because you're not stewarding it right yet. And he likens the gift that is in his life. And we need to absorb this for our understanding of laying on of hands today. He likens that gift to a flame. And simple thermodynamics is this. The law of heat exchange is this. Heat exchange works from hot to cold. If you went to Starbucks on your way here this morning and you got a really hot coffee, you don't turn the car around, pop back in and say, excuse me, are you trying to burn me? This coffee is way too hot. I would like it to be 4 degrees cooler. No, in that instance, you dump it on your lap and see if you can get a couple million dollars from. No, I'm just kidding. If you have a really hot coffee, what do? You just wait. You just wait a few minutes. Why? Because what is hot is growing cold. Now hear me. Hear me spiritually now. Paul says, I want to remind you, Timothy, there are gifts in you. But if they're not burning right now, it's not the fault of the gift. You need to fan it into flame. I'm telling you it's there. Whether you've ever seen it operate, it's there, but you've got to partner with it. You've got to cultivate. You've got to fan. Get the billows out. You need to start getting this thing good and hot. Throw another, log on the fire, so to speak. There is a priestly call. Leviticus 6, the call of the priest to keep the fire of God burning. Never let the fire go out. Never let the fire go out. There's something about maintaining that burning passion for the Lord and maintaining the gift that is in your life. Listen, if it's not operating yet, don't doubt the gift or the giver. Understand that we have a responsibility to steward and kindle the flame that God places in our life. There is a responsibility that we have to tend to the flame of God. This has encouraged me many times in my life when I stop and I consider even Jesus had a first miracle. Just stop and think of it. The Bible tells us it was his first. Up until that point, no miracles in Jesus' life. When did the miracle start? When he stepped out. And did he just wing it? Or had he been cultivating the flame as the anointed one, Son of Man, not using his deity to his advantage, but partnering with the anointing, stepped into his miraculous ministry? If even Jesus had a first miracle, listen, gifts and callings and anointings that have been placed into your life, those gifts are there. That anointing is there. But what we need to do is tend to the flame so that it can burst into a roaring fire, and that through that burning fire, we continue to fuel it with faith and with worship and with prayer, and let God use our lives in the power of his Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask for our prayer teams to come and get half of our prayer team right here in this aisle and half of our prayer team over here on this aisle. Here's what I want to do this morning. Everybody in the house, we want to lay hands on everybody. Our prayer teams, we want to lay hands on everybody. Why? Because this is foundational, not optional. This is foundational for every believer. And you think, so what are we going to do? We're going to walk down these aisles and all these prayer people are going to lay their hands on you. And they're just going to pray while you're walking. You're going to get prayed for, not by one person. You're going to get prayed for by every single person in the line that you're in. They're just going to lay hands on you while you're walking through. What's the key? Faith. We need to have faith. So those that are going to pray, those on our prayer teams, I want you to just put your hands out if you would. All of our prayer workers, I want you to just put your hands out in front of you. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you for these cultivated hearts of prayer. Lord, these people come ready to pray and bless your people. Lord, I thank you that there is a long chain of impartation that is about to be released here today in this house. And so, Father, we just pray right now you'd stir up the fresh anointing and the gift of God that is in their lives. And as they lay hands upon people today, we pray, God, that you would fan flames of gifts in people's lives, that, Father, you would impart and release healing and anointing, that, Father, you would release the Holy Spirit baptism into people's lives, gifts of the Holy Spirit. We just say yes, God, through the laying on of hands. Every person in this room, I want you to lift your hands to the Lord, would you? Father, we just say right now, our eyes are on Jesus. Lord, we bless these people who are going to lay their hands on us, but our faith is in Jesus. Lord, we know what you're doing is you're conveying blessing through human vehicles. Lord, these men and women of God who have prayed, Lord, that we're here in this place stepping out of faith, we're believing today, God, today you want to release more of your anointing, more of your Holy Spirit, more of your fire, your healing, your grace, and your goodness into our lives. And so, Father, we pray today that as we worship and as we pray, that God, we would not despise the day of small beginning, but we say yes to what you want to pour into our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Here's what we're going to do. I want everybody on this side of the church, if you just come down through this kind of prayer tunnel right here, and then you can round out through the back aisle there, and the same on this side. And we're just going to walk through at a walking pace. If anybody on the prayer team feels like you have a prophetic word for somebody, just pull them out, pray for them, and then stick them back in the line just so we can keep that line moving. But we're going to pray. You're welcome to come pray at the altar when you've been prayed for in the prayer tunnels. You're welcome to double dip, triple dip, do both sides. We're going to pray and lay hands on people today in Jesus' name and believe for the power of the Holy Spirit to be transmitted through the laying on of hands in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca or download our app for your mobile device.